toe amputated, and he's got a lot of problems with his knees and everything else. He's listening tonight. Benicia is going through rehab. She's doing a lot better. Mm-hmm. It's great to hear that. And Saturday, D-Day. No. Kids to Orlando Day. Yep. All right. Okay, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this evening, for the Word of God, and this study into eschatology as you're taking us, and we're just so grateful. And just bless these thoughts, bless these words to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we just finished the rapture. Today we're going to go into the rise of the Antichrist, but just studying it, and I'm going to back up a little bit because there's a lot of details in there that I think that we want to cover. Remember, in the book of Revelations, this is really an orderly process. And the Bible talks about it as a divide between heaven and earth. So with this orderly process, we want to keep in mind that we want to probably use Peter's rule of prophecy in 2 Peter 1, verse 20, where it says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. And I think that's a great thing to lean upon, which meaning we don't interpret prophecy by itself. You never interpret prophecy by itself. It will line up with other areas within the Bible that leads to what I think the meanings are. Okay? So, if you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 4 in Revelations. And at this time, I don't think the church is no longer on the scene. Again, we had the rapture last week. And, you know, what allows us to say that is within the first three chapters of Revelation, the word church was used over 15 times. And now from this point forward, from Revelations 4 to the end, it's only used once in the very last chapter of Revelations, and that's more of an invitation by Jesus Christ again to come unto him. So it is completely removed from this point on, and you will not see that word church used. It does have a new name, though, as we're going to see in chapter 4. Remember, the word church is the earthly name, and now there's the heavenly name. The Bride of Christ is a good example, and that will come down in the New Jerusalem. And then also, I believe the 24 elders refers to the representation of the church, is what we see. And there's different things of what that number means. Some say it's, the 12 apostles, excluding Judas, adding Paul, and the 12 tribes. So you see that. But that becomes our representation, because we will see that this group of 24 elders will, and they're clothed with crowns, and they will lay those crowns down at the feet of Jesus. So that's a representation and the meaning that we get from that. There is one other church, though, that is named through Revelations. They call themselves a church. We don't. They think they're a church. They go by the name of church. But to me, they're just an organization, because they were not raptured. And they will go through the great tribulation saying that they're a church. But the Bible gives them a different name. The Bible gives them the name of a harlot. So I don't think we want to be associated with that church. But that's what they're called here in Revelations. Okay, so There's a shift now from earth to heaven. So that's what that divide is. And in verse 1, Revelation 4, verse 1, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it was a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be thereafter. So two things here. This is John. And by the way, in verse 2, it says that he was in the spirit. And whether was he taken up into this area or did he see things in the spirit, you can make that choice what you think. But it says that, you know, he looked and he heard. He was able to see and he was able to listen and to hear. A key word here is the word after this. The very first word says after this. It's twice in verse 1. After this, and then at the end it says, must be thereafter. And the word is metatata in the Greek, and it means after these things. So he's saying after these things, and what things? What things is this now after? And we believe that that is after the rapture of the church. So after the rapture, now this thing's taken place. This is what John is able to see, and he's going to see it and view it and hear it from heaven. And think about that, because what awe that had to be. You know, we have some verses on what this is like, but now it is all revealed that he can see and he can hear and he can visualize, and I just believe he's in complete awe at this time of what he is taking in and what he's receiving and what he's going through. And he says that he sees an open door, and there's an open door. And at this point, because what he's going to see is he's going to see a throne, and he's also going to see, in verse 2 it says that, behold, I saw a throne. And then he's also going to see a lamb in the midst of the throne in Revelation 7:17. Why a lamb? Because the lamb died for the sins of the world. And that same lamb who died for the sins of the world is now going to judge the world. And this is what this is getting ready for. This is now getting ready for judgment. But he sees this open door. And Jesus Christ from this point on will direct and conduct all things. All things will be completely directed and guided and conducted by him. Even everything that takes place in the Great Tribulation period, he is in control of it all. There's nothing that he is not in control of at this moment. He's doing it all. The word church, by the way, is ecclesia, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. Kalesia or kaleo in the Greek means to be called. E-K means out of. So the church is called out. That's what it means. It means called out ones. Mm. And two things. Number one, we're called out of our sins and saved, and even called out of the world and the system of the world. So that's what this means here. And this open door in heaven, I think that is from Christ to God. It's now an open, direct way from Jesus Christ right to the Father who sits upon the throne. In John 14:6, Jesus said that I am the way. I am the way. And in John 10, he is the door. So everything is, what this is going is now the church just got raptured and they are coming through this door into the presence of God. Okay? And then the second thing he hears is a trump. And I just think that's that same calling sound that called up the church in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. So that trump, that call, is probably, and you know what? It's probably a voice, come, you know, and it sounds like a trump. It's going to be so incredible, but I think it's going to be this voice that it's talking about here, who says, come up hither. So we have an open door, we have a trump, and we have the Lamb of God, and now he is going to be the judge. Mm. All things up until this point, all this in order now, because everything is in order, will now lead from this point on to judgment. Which to me is another good reason why the church is out. Mm-hmm. You know, so people who don't believe in pre-trib, I mean, why, you know, the church doesn't go through judgment. We've already been judged. This is judgment. And the Bible says this, and we'll get into it probably next time. It says it's going to be judgment like you've never seen before. This isn't a tribulation or a trial that we have. Remember, the believer also has tribulations, it says, and to count it all joy for that. That is because we're associated with Christ. This isn't a judgment for rejecting Christ. Two totally different judgments. And this is why it states here in Revelations, like the world has never, ever has seen before. And Jesus Christ is going to judge. Why would he have to judge his church? Why would the church have to go through it? And that judgment is going to start in chapter 6. Okay? Okay, let me see. Okay, so immediately come up. Christine, we're in Revelations 4. Okay, one other thing here that I picking up here on this, as I read this, where in verse 2 it says, and a throne was set in heaven. Mm-hmm. And at one time before this, when the church was on the earth, that was a throne room of grace in Hebrews 4:16. Mm-hmm. And we could approach it. We could approach that throne. And we can approach it in grace, and we can find mercy at that place. And it's for the believers now. We have access to it by grace into the throne room of God, that we can receive grace and we can receive mercy in a time of need. Hopefully you're using it, unless you have no needs. Then you don't need to go. But it's there for us to access, is the whole point. And many of us don't go in. Many of us don't go finding grace and mercy. It's like Sunday, we deal with our problems the way we deal with them instead of going to God with them. But at this point now, it's going to be a throne of judgment. It's not a throne of grace no more. It's going to be a throne room of judgment, and this is where judgment is going to take place. And we'll get into the different forms of judgment. But it's another reason why the church is not here, because the church will not have to go through that judgment. Let me show you the process of revelations of what's going on. Turn in your Bibles to Revelations chapter 1. Where where John received these instructions. And you can see the orderly process of what's taken place with this verse. So Revelations 1, 19, and Jesus speaking to John, he says, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be after. And that after, again, is that same word that we found in Revelations 4, after this, it must be thereafter. And after the rapture, the meta tauta in the Greek, which shall be after. So write the things which thou hast seen. And the first thing that John sees here is this glorious vision of a glorified Christ. And he's going to write these things. He's going to start to write these things. In the Greek, it's M-E-T-A-T-A-U-T-A. It's used in Revelations 4, 1 twice after this and must be thereafter. And it's also mentioned here in 19, 119. So we're going to learn that when John is to write these things down and to see different things, especially when it's come to judgment, it's going to make him cry. He's writing Revelations in tears. The Holy Spirit is really moving within him to write what he sees and to write the things which are and to write the things that are after. The things that are the seven churches that follow this chapter. And he's going to write about each church. And then the things that are thereafter is his total earthly experience. He's going to write what has taken place. The apostle John is going to write from everything that came from the first day of Pentecost, and he's going to write it all the way to the parousia, which means the upper air, from the upper room to the upper air, so to speak, you know, and he's going to write it all. I mean, incredible. And this is what Jesus Christ gave him in this revelation as a process. I want you to write all things that you have seen pertaining these events. So there is this order. So after the throne and after that he sees this, there's some other things here that are looked at. And I'm not going to go too much into them because I do want to complete five, and there's not that much there either. But the next thing that he sees is these four beasts. And it's not relevant that they're beasts. It's relevant that they're alive. There is another beast coming, you know, which is a beast, you know. But these here, the first one, and you can find this in Revelations 4, verse 7, one of them is like a lion. And whatever your interpretations of this, I think they like saying that these four beasts are pertain to the four gospels. Because in Matthew he was a king, and the king is a lion. And in Mark he was a servant, and that's what the second beast was, which is a calf. And then which is the beast of burden, so to speak. And then the third one And Luke was the face of man, and he came as the Son of Man. Jesus Christ was Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. And the fourth one was flying like an eagle. So you've got these four beasts, and they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come." And Jesus Christ says the same thing in Revelation 1:8. And you can see this holy, holy, holy taking place also in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. So you've got this, this same type of contrast in heaven where holy, three times the Trinity is being praised and glorified. In Revelations chapter 5, and there's a lot of other things here too, on how they, and for how John sees God, and he doesn't see a face or anything else, because no man has seen the face of God, but he sees these stones, and all these stones have I guess a different meaning also, but we're not going to go into that. It does talk about the 24 elders that is representing the church, I think. And then they see Christ in verse 5. In chapter 5, a couple things here. In verse 2, it says, "I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loosen the seals?' And in verse 3, no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look upon it." Isaiah 59:16 says that God looked for a man and found no one. No man to bridge the gap. No man could do it. And this is what I was talking about. This is what caused John to weep. Because man was not worthy. And man never will be worthy. Never will be worthy. And God searched for man and could not find one. There's none righteous, no, not one. I remember when we were outreaching not too long ago, Pastor Keith came across a gentleman that says he's never sinned.
No.
He is completely holy, and he's never, ever sinned. So, I think Pastor Keith was trying to get him to. No, I don't think. But it's something when we hear, you know, things like that, and how what people think of themselves without able to see, you know, really, and you know. We got to be very careful of self-examining ourselves, because we can really, really go off and, you know, lose it because of really what's in the heart of man is not good at all. Isaiah 1, verse 5, the whole head is sick from the top of the head to the bottom of the foot. There is no soundness in our thinking or in our mind. It's incredible. God's assessment of us, our assessment of us, is we're everything. We're so amazing. I mean, and this is why the bridge and the gap is so far apart. And in still in doing that, Jesus and God still gives the invitation, "Come, let us reason together." Even though this is how you are, you know, reasoning means stop thinking the way you are and see how it from God's perspective. So he had to send his son, and his son had to die. And so he weeps. He weeps. John wrote the book of Revelations weeping because no man was found worthy. Not one would be found worthy to open the book, to read the book, and even to look upon the book, is what it says in verse 4. No man could open it, read it, or look upon it. And then one of the elders And I think, again, a representative from the church. And the word elder is, in the Greek, it's presbyterios, which means Presbyterian is where, but it's biblical because in the early church, they set up elders in the early church. So it is a biblical term. And this is why I think it represents the church. But one of the elders said unto me, weep no more, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And I love this because he goes into the 12 tribes and to the root of David, who will sit upon the throne. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. In verse 6, and behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and the midst of the four beasts, and the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, and it had been slain. So John is hearing about this lion, this amazing lion from the tribe of Judah. He's worthy to open up that seal. And he turns and looks, and he sees the lamb. What a picture. What a picture. That Jesus Christ came and died for us as a lamb. As a lamb. So, only Christ is going to open up the seals. Nobody else is going to open up these seals. Nobody can look upon the book, touch the book, read the book, and look thereon. And Jesus Christ is going to open up the seals. And this means only Christ is going to be able to open up judgment. Remember, Jesus said, I don't judge you. He had the authority to judge because I don't judge you. Only my Father has that authority, and he gives it over to Christ. So he's gonna open up the seals of judgment. And why would, again, the church, why would he have to judge the individual church if we were still having to go through the Great Tribulation? Because this is going to be the start of judgment. This is going to be the start of the tribulation period. The 7 years that's going to take place. And these seals are going to start to open up. There's going to be seven of these seals that are going to be exposed and opened in the book of Revelations. And then there are going to be seven trumpets that follow that. Seven trumpets. And then after that, it's going to be seven bowls. Obviously, the number seven is important, right? But I think a person that, you know, believes that they have to go through this, you know, Jesus says, if I go, I will come back for you and I'll prepare a place for you. For where I will be, you will be also. We are going to be with Christ. And the church teaches that our identity is in Christ. It's not away from Christ. We're not going through judgment when Christ is opening the books and pouring out judgment upon the nations. I just don't see that. And I know there's a lot of debate over it. And it's not a doctrinal salvation debate. But again, if we go through Revelations this way, I mean, I think these things are pretty easy to see of what's happening. So, you know, if we don't know who we are in Christ, if we don't know our own identity, then we're going to be running scared as a church, you know. So, and some say, well, we're going through it and you'll be protected, and they use the tribulation things of, remember, there's tribulation of identity and there's tribulations of the great tribulation. Okay, so I wanted to bring these things in first a little bit before we start next time with the rise of the Antichrist. And within that, we'll go over a couple of things. And and then the Antichrist will be coming on the scene in this last week of Daniel's prophecy that we covered two weeks ago. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time and this evening and the words that you have given us. And Lord, we are in you. We are in Christ. We are the body of Christ. You are the head. We are the body. We thank you for opening up our hearts, our ears, our understanding in these matters. We continue to pray for the body of Christ here in North Miami Beach for Sunday coming up as Pastor Julian comes in. And very excited about that, having him and our trip to the Holy Land on Saturday. I also pray for me. I'm doing a funeral on Friday. Lord, we just thank you. We love you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.